Hello everyone. Today, I am going to introduce to you all Ms. Kira Dineen, a genetic counselor and an award-winning podcaster. In 2012, Kira Dineen started DNA Today podcast, which educates the public on genetics and public health topics and explores how genetics impacts our health. DNA Today won the Best 2020 and 2021 Science and Medicine Podcast Awards. She has been popularizing health science for the past 10 years through podcasting as a medium of science communication. An amazing thing to know here is that she started this podcasting since the age of 16. Ms. Kira Dineen is a certified cytogenetic technologist. She received her Master's of Science in Human Genetics at Sarah Lawrence College in New York. She currently practices as a genetic counselor in a high-risk prenatal private practice, maternal fetal care, PC, in Stanford. In this episode, let's know about a career in genetic counseling and science communication. Why wait then? Let's welcome Ms. Kira Dineen to our show. Hello, Ms. Kira Dineen. I'm so glad to have you today. And for this episode of Career in Genetic Counseling and Science Communication. And first of all, I would like to congratulate you. I know that this might be late wishes, but still congratulations on winning the Best Podcast Award in Science and Medicine of the year 2021. And I'm sure my students and most of my audience will be glad to have you and listen from you about this career.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on the show. I obviously love talking about science, science communications, all of that. So I'm pumped to chat with you today.
So how all this started, like how you got interest in medical counseling, genetic counseling in particular?
Yeah, so I started in high school just being fascinated by genetics. Whenever the genetics unit would come up in biology, that was just the best. I would always look forward to it. I loved diving into it and just like asking my teachers so many questions where they were like, okay, clearly you're passionate about this. So that was, you know, just so interesting to me. And I was like, I want to go into some career that has to do with genetics. But in high school, I wasn't sure what that looked like. In high school, I was like, okay, I guess that means genetic research. So that's kind of where I was thinking at first. And my mom is a social worker. So I grew up in this environment where she would talk about, you know, being a therapist and obviously everything de-identified. She would never say a patient's name, but just talking about different stories and naming them Jane Doe. And I found that part so fascinating too. But for me, I'm like, it's missing that nerdy element of like, you know, that hard science aspect. Yeah. And so I'm obviously very close with my mom. And, you know, she told me one day, she's like, I found your career. And I'm like, okay, mom, what'd you find? And she was like, genetic counseling. And I'm like, what is that? And so, you know, she shared, she was like, well, basically you would talk with people and help them understand their genetics and how it impacts their health. And I'm like, well, that seems like a mix of this genetics part that I love and find really interesting and your job of like being able to talk with people and process emotions and an education bit too, which, you know, as I kind of grew into myself, I realized I love educating. So it all kind of came together and I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. So going into college, I knew I'm like, okay, I'm pursuing this field. You know, I hope I can get into grad school and everything. And so really the show started when I was in high school of making that decision. Like, I want to go into working in genetics. I think it's going to be genetic counseling, but let me interview a bunch of people and see, are there any other careers that are going to be better fit for me? Just learning more about it, because I think, as you've probably experienced, having a podcast is just such a great way to connect with people. And you get to connect with people in such a short amount of time, but it's such meaningful conversations. So, you know, it was really at first a way for me to explore genetics and career options and just learn more. And now it's become a business for me. So it's very much grown with me through, you know, college, grad school, and now into, you know, working full time. So it's just been such a great experience and really all started with, I think I want to do something in genetics and just exploring that.
That's amazing. Like when you are saying that you are exploring, you were exploring when you were in high school,
Could you please tell us like how you explored your career? Like we also have so many doubts which career we like. Of course, we like two or three subjects. Sometimes children are more interested in more number of subjects. Sometimes they are interested in only a single thing, and whatever the other thing is coming along with that career, they don't want that. So any tips on that?
I think like my favorite classes in high school, my favorite that I was also good at, because I think that's part of it too. Like, you know, you could be fascinated by something and you just don't have a knack for it, but you know, genetics, psychology, you know, even like child development, I think that was very interesting. And then that kind of now is helpful in terms of, I work in the prenatal space. So meeting with pregnant people or people that are looking to become pregnant. So I think it's great to say, okay, what are you most interested in? And try to put all that together and say, is there a career that is touching on all of these areas, or at least most of the areas you're interested in? Because I think that's why being a genetic counselor was the best career option for me, because I love all these pieces to it. But I have to say it, you know, at some point, I think when I was a senior in high school, I was like, do I want to be a genetic counselor? Is it just going to be really sad every day? Like, is my life going to be going into work and processing really bad news and telling patients really bad news? And so at first,
that's
you know,
the
there,
part.
Yeah. So I think at first, you know, there was a couple months there where I was like, I don't know if I want to be a genetic counselor. Like, do I want that to be my everyday life? You know? And then I was like, well, let me shadow some genetic counselors, really see what it's like day to day of like what they're doing. And I think that's when it can be very different in terms of what type of role you have and what area of genetic counseling you're working in. So I, as I said, work in prenatal. Some of my friends and colleagues work in cancer, pediatrics, ophthalmology, neurology, any of the ologies, right? So cardiology. So all of these different types. And I think that when we go into that, everything is a little bit different. Like cancer, you're more focused on prevention. So there's that aspect of it that's kind of hopeful. And I think I get that a little bit when I work with people before they're pregnant and doing some testing called carrier screening. But I think once I shadowed and talked with genetic counselor and realized like people are going to be going through this no matter how involved I am or if I'm involved at all, I'm not causing this. It's the other way around. I'm able to help them through what may be one of the hardest times of their life. And once I could wrap myself around that perspective, it really shifted. And knowing that I could choose a job and role that didn't focus so much on it's constantly bad news. So I think that was part of it for me. I think that would have been really tough every day to be going through. And I certainly have colleagues that are more in roles like that. But I think it's so important for people that are pursuing these careers, any career, to say, okay, do I have some ability to shadow someone or really interview someone and say, what is your day like? Like, take me through yesterday, take me through everything you did last week. Just to get a sense of like, is that something that you can see trying on and doing?
So coming to that, like as a genetic counselor with your day-to-day job, do you have to only counsel the people who come to you, or you have to go through the lab tests also? Like, do genetic counselors in America perform lab tests, or do you people just counsel them? So what happens actually in your place?
Sure. That is a great question. So basically when I have a patient and we sit down, I'm like, hi, I'm Kira, I'm the genetic counselor. From there, I'm going through, usually they're pregnant. So I'm going through their medical history, any pregnancy history they have, then going through their family history. So drawing out their family with what's called a pedigree or like a family tree, asking about health of family members, if family members have passed away, what was the cause of death, anybody in the family with any conditions that could be genetic or inherited. So go through a bunch of questions to cover that. And then go through genetic testing options, as you're bringing up. So going through two main options, one I mentioned, which is called carrier screening. So this is looking at conditions that are inherited. So I think of genetic conditions in two buckets, random conditions and inherited conditions. So the inherited conditions, someone can be a carrier of a condition and not have any symptoms from being a carrier. But if they have a child with someone else that's a carrier of that same condition, there's a chance baby could have the condition. So I'm a carrier of a condition. Most people are, if you look at enough conditions. So, you know, we go through that to see if that person and their partner or the sperm or egg donor want to go through carrier screening. A lot of cases of sperm and egg donor, people have already done that prior to pregnancy. So that's like the first test I talk about. The other test I talk about is that other bucket of genetic conditions, the random conditions. So I do a test, which you can actually see if you're watching the video. Here's some of the kits behind me here. So for this test, we take a blood sample, regular blood sample from mom's arm, regular blood draw, or the pregnant person, I should say, rather. And we send this off to the lab. So I'm in this role, I'm not processing any of these tests. You know, I'm talking the patients through, educating them about the test and saying, do you want to do this? Because it's totally up to them. I'm kind of like a guidance counselor of genetic testing. I'm like, here's the options. What's going to work for you? Like, guidance counselors don't care what college you're going to. They want to have you go to the best college for you. Yeah. Right. So that's kind of what I do. And so for this test, that's looking at, the random conditions, it's really cool scientifically how we do this. So we as scientists discovered that there is DNA that comes off the placenta and floats in the pregnant person's bloodstream.
Yes.
So when we discovered that, we're like, well, why don't we take a blood sample, isolate that DNA coming off the placenta and see if we find any genetic conditions. And so this has become a way of screening for conditions, most commonly Down syndrome. So having an extra chromosome 21 would lead to Down syndrome. So, you know, and other extra missing chromosome conditions. So it's really cool technology. And I have to say, like, you know, out of all the patients I'm talking to, probably at least one a day is like, wow, that's cool. They can do that. I'm like, yeah, isn't it? Like, and we've had this technology for over 10 years. So I used to say like, oh, this newer test. And I'm like, I guess it's not newer if it's been around for a decade, but you know, I think in a nutshell, I basically go through all of that with patients, see if they want to do the testing. I'm the one ordering the test, which some genetic counselors order, some don't in the US. That's really state dependent because of legislation and everything and certification, licensure. But yeah, so kind of go through that. And then I'm the one that's also calling the patient with the results. So I'm not in the lab doing it, but I've done that in other roles in my career. But yeah, really just explaining and talking about genetics, which clearly is, you know, what I like doing.
Yeah. So genetic counselors actually help people in making decisions and then they educate them. So suppose if I'm a patient visiting you, then I have to visit you twice, right? Is it? Suppose if I want to go for a test.
So it depends.
First I visited you, then, yeah.
Yeah. So certainly, you know, I, with the pandemic, a lot of people have been working in telehealth. For my patients that are pregnant, they're usually getting an ultrasound right before they're seeing me. So they're already in the office. So it's like, all right, then come across the hall and sit with me. So yeah, usually we're coming in for that initial appointment. And when I get results, as soon as I get them, I call patients on the phone. So I call them with the results. If there's anything that's different, or not coming back as typical. So if there's a high chance for a baby to have Down syndrome or another genetic condition, then I will invite them to come back in person to talk about that. If everything comes back typical, normal, nothing different being identified, I don't really have patients coming back in at that point to see me. I'll see them in the hallway once they have their ultrasound. But yeah, usually I'm not meeting with them again, but I'm just following up with calls. And sometimes they have questions over email and everything, but yeah, that's one aspect that I wish was a little different with my job because I meet all of these amazing patients and usually I'm only meeting them in person once, you know, sometimes twice if they come back for that second pregnancy, third pregnancy. So I think I'm going to see more of that the more years I'm in this role.
So genetic counselors are working in collaboration with doctors in the same hospital, or do you have a separate setup, separate clinic?
Yeah. So my specific role is working at a private practice. So I work specifically for one doctor primarily. We have another doctor in our practice that does the GYN side. So like annual visits, if you're not pregnant. So just like, you know, female health visits. But yeah, I'm basically working under one doctor. And other genetic counselors may work for a whole host of doctors. So I would say I'm in the minority of working for a private practice. Most genetic counselors in the United States and Canada that I can more speak to work in hospital settings. I'm not as familiar with other countries.
Yeah, that's great. And I would love to hear this from you, like how your typical day looks like. You are into genetic counseling, then you are also into science communication, and you are running your podcast successfully. Like I've been seeing the episodes recently, the nutrition one. So I really want to know how a week or a day looks like so that my students can take the decisions regarding career in genetic counseling.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I definitely consider the podcast as part of my career in genetic counseling, because as we talked about, genetic counseling is very much about educating people and the public and having these conversations. And, you know, I've had the podcast for 10 years now, as we've said, I started it in high school. And, you know, I think a typical week is, you know, is there a typical week? You know, but I would say that, you know, usually I'm doing a couple recordings per week, either before my day starts with patients, like we're doing this interview, which, you know, is good in terms of time zones, I think, because it's the end of your day, start of mine, and doing also interviews after I see patients. So kind of doing interviews at 8 and at 5, and, you know, being able to work on other projects throughout the week. So, you know, there's usually some kind of writing project I'm working on. I used to have a article like blog series called Explained by a Genetic Counselor for a company in the UK called Sano Genetics. So that, you know, is always fun to be working on writing. And just being able to appear on other podcasts and spread the word about genetics and genetic counseling. So it definitely differs, but I would say, you know, usually I'm working from like 8 to 7, I would say. So 8 in the morning to 7 at night would be usually, you know, just plugging away. I also have a team behind me at the podcast. So, you know, certainly, you know, shout out to, Amanda and Corinne, who really help the podcast run. So in terms of running the YouTube channel, the social media, writing blog posts, that go with the episode. So I think a lot of it is realizing, okay, what's everything that needs to be done and what are things I can take off my plate and put on one of my team members' plate, to help support, you know, especially the show. So that's certainly something that I've learned and I'm continuing to learn, that I think kind of just being the lead, of a team is certainly something that, you know, I don't think you learn in school, you kind of learn by doing.
Yeah, that's amazing to know. Like, among all these things, what it takes to be a successful Kira. Like, today's present Kira is like, she's famous because of the award, and she has been a successful genetic counselor. And you said you are working half part of the day, 12 hours, like from morning 8 to evening 7 is almost 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So what skills does it take, like what kind of skills takes so that you can be successful in this career and at the same time you can have a good side hustle also?
Yeah, I think the number one thing that kind of keeps me going is just I'm very passionate about what I do, and so I'm motivated to do it. It excites me. I think when I think about, like, you know, like I have a vacation coming up, I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? Like, you know, mental health wise, I think it's really good to take vacations, take breaks. And for me, it's a staycation, but I'm like, okay, if I'm really not working, like I got to fill my schedule with other leisurely activities. So I think for me, it's almost like I get bored if I don't have projects going on. But I think one big aspect is just being organized and working very ahead of time. So for the podcast specifically, I'm working on 15 episodes at a time, because in order to release an episode every Friday, I need to have a lot of episodes in the works, because especially if I'm working with sponsors and companies, oftentimes it just takes a long time for you know, interviews to get approved, advertisement scripts to get approved. So I'm always working very ahead of time. And that way I have lots of episodes that if the episode I am planning on coming out on a certain week doesn't happen by then, I've got other episodes I can just move up. So I think just being organized and on top of things, I think really helps me. I think one thing that I was intimidated by before I got into the career of genetics is like, oh, you've got to be a brainiac. You've got to be really, really smart to go into science, right? And I think that that is certainly advantageous, but I don't think you need to be really, really wicked smart. I think that, you know, I don't consider myself to be like a Bradyac. Like there's no way I could have made it through med school. So, you know, for me, I compensate by not being super book smart, by putting a lot of effort in. And I think that that goes a long way. You know, when I look at, I've joined other entrepreneur groups in my area, and just, you know, the last couple of years been meeting with a lot more entrepreneurs, especially that are older than me, that have been working longer than me. And I'm realizing like that seems to be the key to success for many people. Being able to network too, I would throw that on top of everything I've said. I think that having a large network and reaching back in with people is so important. So even for me, I graduated from graduate school 2 years ago now, and it was May 2020. So it was a crazy time to graduate. I didn't get a lot of goodbyes with classmates like I had wanted to. So, you know, it's important for me to say, okay, like, oh, I haven't talked to this person in 9 months. I should shoot them a text and just say, how are you? What's going on today? So I think that that is, you know, one aspect that I think just being motivated, being organized, and really utilizing your network and just checking in with people, that you want to check in with them before they say, before you need something from them, right? So you want to be able to just have that continuous relationship going. And maybe that's just every 6 months of like, what new projects do you have going on? What's new in your personal life? And it's really nice. Like, you know, I do that and people are like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard from you in so long. I've been meaning to reach out. Yes. How is it going? Like, you know, so I think that's, that would be a big piece of it. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I'm not one of those book smart people, I've got to study a lot to get the same grades as other people, same here. And you can be very successful in a science career.
Yes, that's very helpful, really. Like, we always think that we should be more brainy to be in the science, but hard work also compensates that. So I was interested to know if genetic counselors document their work, and do you people publish those documents as a research work? Is that possible?
Yeah, there's certainly genetic counselors that have been published. There's a lot of genetic counselors that have been published. I'm not one of them yet. I hope to in my career someday to publish. But yes, there's certainly a lot of, you know, I would say case studies that genetic counselors are being presented with and working on a case. And then they say, oh, wow, this would be a really great case study. Let's write that up and submit it to journals. There's also genetic counselors that primarily do research, which I think is interesting. So definitely those genetic counselors that are focused on a certain area of research, they're involved in a research study. There's also every genetic counselor in the US, at least, does a thesis project in order to graduate and have their master's in genetics. So as part of that, they are doing some kind of research or some kind of project that theoretically could be written into a manuscript and submitted to journal articles. So that's definitely a big part of the genetic counseling field and genetics in general. So if that's something that people are interested in, it's definitely a really cool aspect of genetic counseling and definitely a career avenue that people can enjoy.
Okay. In India, to be a genetic counselor, actually a person has to undergo graduation first, which is 3 years after their high school. And then they have to postgraduate, which is 2 years. And then finally, they have to get a certification in genetic counseling. That's happening mostly in Kamineni Institute and in Nizam's Institute of Medical Sciences right now. Very few institutes are there which are making students as genetic counselors. And so it takes almost like 7 years to finish after your high school. It takes almost 7 years to be a genetic counselor. So now I would like to know, what is the process to become a genetic counselor in your place?
Sure. So it's very similar. So after high school, you have to have a bachelor's degree. For most people, that takes 4 years. And then you go on to a graduate program that is 2 years. So usually takes about 6 years after high school to complete that. A lot of people, most people, do not go straight from undergrad to grad school. Most people end up taking a gap year, a few years. That's becoming more and more common. I took a gap year. For me, part of it was financial. I wanted to be able to save up for grad school and not have a financial burden during grad school. And, you know, I was able to do that so I didn't have to take out loans. School in America is very, very expensive. I don't know about India, but a lot of people have debt from school. So that was a piece of it. I also took a gap year because I wanted a little bit more time just working in the field of genetics before I started grad school to have more experience. And there was one outstanding class that I needed to get into grad school that I didn't do during undergrad. So I also took my gap year to do that and retake what's called the GRE. So it's similar if people have heard of like the SATs. I don't know if you guys have that in India of like standardized testing to get into schools. More and more schools are dropping that requirement, which I think is a good thing from my perspective. But that was for when I was applying, that was a piece of it. So kind of all the loose ends, having a gap year was just really great for me to be able to just get everything ready to go to start grad school. And grad school is also like seeing that you've taken some time after undergrad, I'm finding.
Yes. Actually, are there any opportunities for Indian students to get into your grad school to be a genetic counselor?
Yes, definitely. You know, I can speak to the graduate school that I went to, Sarah Lawrence. We've certainly had a lot of students that are coming from India, coming into New York to come to school. And certainly other programs, that's the case as well. You know, to my knowledge, we have more genetic counseling programs than in India. That's part of it. Last time I counted, it was like over 40 of like the US and Canada combined, because Canada has 4 programs. So they also don't have a lot of programs. So, you know, in my class, there was 30 people. We were considered a very large class for genetic counseling. Usually it's very small class sizes. So we're at Sarah Lawrence, we're one of the biggest programs, or the biggest program, I should say. And we had, out of the 30 of us, there were 5 students from Canada in my class. So very common, especially just being in New York, we're close to, you know, Ottawa and Toronto and some major Canadian cities. So certainly we are, have a lot of international students. So that's certainly something that I encourage people to look at.
Yeah. So if an international student graduates from your place, will he get an opportunity to work in the same country?
I believe so. I know that it can be difficult getting visas, and I'm not as familiar with the process because I was born and raised in America, so I've never personally gone through visa processes, but I have other friends that are from Canada, Mexico, and came here for school and then have stayed to continue working. So I know it certainly is possible. It can certainly be a challenge because that's an extra hurdle during, you know, job applications and interviews to say, I also need a work visa. Because I know you can get the student visa, which I don't know how much that, you know, is different between different countries. That would be something interesting to explore, but I know it's certainly possible. Yes.
So, like, what do you think? Suppose I'm from India and I like genetic counseling and I have graduated in your place and I want to practice there itself. But I know that when we are interacting with the locals, that is different, right? The way you might be counseling the patients is definitely different from the way a foreigner counsels the patient. So what kind of new skills that I have to develop if I want to get into this state?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think, you know, there's certainly a lot of cultural differences and just in the way that we interact, you know, from talking with people around the world in genetics and just in my personal life. You know, I think Americans can be very casual compared to other people. I think just in the way that we talk and interact with people. And, you know, I've certainly heard that even a lot from like people from like the UK and stuff of like, wow, Americans are really just, they put it out there. Like there's less of a filter, I think, that we have in general. But I think it really is just having that experience of, you know, especially if people come here for grad school, one of the great experiences is that you get rotations during grad school where you get to experience, just observing a genetic counselor, where you're sitting in the corner and you're just watching everything that happens. And for me, that was just so great. And I started doing that before grad school for a couple summers, because you're able to just absorb so much and kind of monkey see, monkey do. Like, you're just able to take in like what the genetic counselor is doing, how they're handling situations, how they're explaining certain concepts, how they are interacting with patients, as you brought up. So I think being able to observe, and then you kind of slowly ease yourself into being active during the session, where, you know, in an early rotation you'll have in grad school, you'll go through and say, okay, like the genetic counselor would do pretty much everything. And then, you know, for me, it was like, okay, do you want to explain carrier screening at the end? And I'm like, okay, sure. Like, that's my first task. And then it was like, do you want to take a family history? Okay. All right. So I'll do that part of the session too. And you slowly build up to do a full session where it's like, you're the genetic counselor. And the, you know, credentialed professional genetic counselor is sitting in the back of the room. So I think being able to have that experience is very helpful, even for people that are working in their native country, because no matter where you are, it's going to be new for you. So I think practice makes perfect, and, you know, not that we're ever perfect. I think that phrase should probably be rewritten a little bit, but I think that it's, you know, really great to be able to ease yourself into it. And, you know, I haven't had a lot of experience where they just throw you in completely without that build up to it in practice.
And as we know that not all countries have this facility of genetic counseling. So, like, are you people taking up clients from other countries also? And if so, what are the ways that anyone can reach you?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think that it really depends. So one aspect would be that we are genetic counselors in the US. There's certain states that have what we call licensure. So I work in Connecticut, which is right outside of New York City. So for me, I am a licensed certified genetic counselor. So I can work with patients, in Connecticut, you know, in some, you know, in like New York patients, because we're right on the line. Some people like just drive over, but it really depends. I think if you're working internationally, there might be other, you know, paperwork laws, hoops to jump through. But I'm sure there's genetic counselors that do that. A fantastic resource is findagineticcounselor.com. So this is hosted by the National Society of Genetic Counselors, which is based in the US. But yeah, findagineticcounselor.com is great, especially if you're in the US, because you basically put in like, what kind of genetic counselor do you need? Is it cancer, prenatal, pediatric? Like, what are you looking for? You can put in your area, and then it will come up and generate genetic counselors in your area, or telehealth genetic counselors, where you can meet with genetic counselors through something similar to Zoom, but like a healthcare version of Zoom, usually, where you're able to talk to genetic counselors. And the pandemic has changed that a lot. I think there's a lot more telehealth options. And some of that may include international. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, but this information is very helpful. I'll check that. Geneticcounselor.com.
Yeah, findagineticcounselor.com. Yeah.
Findagineticcounselor.com.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And I was looking through your degrees, and I found CGASCPCM. By CG, I guess it is cytogenetics.
You got it. Yeah.
Okay. And then what is, I couldn't find out this American Society for Clinical Pathology and that CM, what that CM means. I didn't get it.
You know, I don't actually know. So I know that's like the superscript, I think, in it is the, which I should look at one of my business cards. Yeah, I don't know what that CM is, because CG is cytogenetics. So my undergrad degree is in cytogenetics, and then I sat for my certification exam in cytogenetics. And as you said, the American Society of Clinical Pathology is the one that actually like gives me that. But I have no idea what that CM stands for. I should probably know that. Clinical something, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, let's figure it out later then. And one last question, like in genetic counseling course, what are the subjects that you have studied? I actually want to compare those subjects with the subjects people are studying here in India.
Okay, so in terms of like what we study in grad school, you mean?
Yes.
Okay, sure. So So it's 2 years in grad school. So we cover a lot of information. I think the main classes, obviously like intro to human genetics would be how we start out, going through cancer genetics, prenatal, reproductive genetics, a little bit of cardiology. Like we didn't have a specific class, but that was kind of interspersed. Medical genetics, genetic technology, and like methodology there. So more like the lab side and how it works so that we're familiar with what we're actually ordering. Going through like patient advocacy courses as well of just learning more about how we can advocate for people with genetic conditions and caregivers of people with genetic conditions. Certainly touch, I think some topics we touch on, certainly cytogenetics is something that we touch on. So for those that are not familiar, cytogenetics is the study of chromosomes specifically. So looking at the chromosome level. So as I talked about earlier, like Down syndrome, that would be a chromosomal disorder where we have an extra chromosome. So, you know, certainly we touch on that. I would say those are probably the main courses that come to mind. I guess another one to throw in there would be genetic news. So for me, every Monday afternoon, we had what was called MAD. So it stands for Monday Afternoon Discussion, led by Laura Hersher, who has another genetics podcast called The Beagle Has Landed, which is cool to check out. She's a rock star in our field. And she's one of the reasons, actually, I wanted to go to Sarah Lawrence because I was like, oh, I want to be able to work with Laura Hersher. That's really cool. So she leads this course for Sarah Lawrence students that talks about like whatever was new in genetics that week. And just being able to talk about like, wow, this is a wild story. Or did you hear of this breakthrough in genetics? What do we think about this? Let's break down this new research publications we were like talking about of, oh, this, you know, genetic counselor was a co-author on this study. Let's read through this article and dive into it. And like, what does the data actually mean? And so, you know, I always really looked forward to those because, you know, I love talking about the crazy stories, the bioethical side of like CRISPR, which is like a genetic editing technology, which is so cool. If you like genetics, look into CRISPR because it's wild and awesome and scary all at the same time.
Designer babies, right?
Designer babies. Yeah. That's, you know, a whole area within CRISPR, but yeah, back in, I think it was December, 2018. We learned that, a researcher doctor out in China, genetically edited embryos that were implanted and twins were born and another child from that. So crazy story people should look into there. But yeah, so I think there's just so many different areas that we cover, but I would say those are probably the main ones.
And you said that you started podcasting when you were already in a school. And that is really so inspiring for the current teenagers and the young adults that they can also do it. Like you don't need a degree to start a podcast.
No. Right?
So if anyone is really into the science communication, they're already studying science, but still they want to start this communication of science. What kind of course, any suggestions from your side? Like do you ask them to go through any courses or anything else? Any tips?
Yeah, in terms of like starting a podcast, you know, I think it's the number one thing, because I also do some podcast consultation as well. So I'm a producer on a new nano rare disease podcast that has just launched called the Patient Empowerment Program. But so I think, you know, through my podcast consulting and advice I give to people, you know, as you said, you do not need a degree to start a podcast. I think you need to be motivated, organized. I would record like 10 episodes before you launch, because once you launch, you want to keep up with a good schedule. So for me, for many years, that was, you know, the first and third Friday of the month. And then we've moved up to every Friday, but definitely record a bunch of interviews before you launch, because you will be thankful for that, just to have a bank of episodes that you can fall back on. But yeah, I think it's good just to be organized before interviews, especially if that's the type of show you're doing. You know, just like for this episode, like you really, I can tell, prepared for this interview and like you did some research on me. You know, I do as much research as I can for my guests. I really want to understand what are they an expert in? And so that we can have like the best conversation. So I definitely recommend that for people doing interviews. And, you know, I think just know that your first couple episodes are not going to be great, you know? So I look back to the first episodes I did, and I had a different podcast before my genetics podcast. So I was podcasting for about a year before that. And oh my goodness, I can tell I've grown up a lot since then, but even my voice is so different from when I was 16. But yeah, I think just knowing that you will grow, and that's part of the excitement. But I think, you know, fake it till you make it in terms of the confidence and knowing what you're doing, and just have fun with it. I think that really comes through with podcasting. If it's a chore for you, it's going to be a chore for the listeners, where if you're really interested in it and you're bringing your personality into it, it's really going to resonate with your audience, and then they're going to keep coming back for more.
Yeah, that's a great advice. And I'm really glad, and I'm so thankful to you that to appear in my podcast. And this is the first episode where we have someone from overseas guiding our students and audience, and awesome. Especially about genetic counseling. Yeah, it's really awesome. And I'm so glad, and on behalf of my audience and from me personally, thank you so much. And I would also like to add about Mr. Adam, who has introduced you to me.
Yes.
I just asked him in one episode, I just asked him once, and he introduced you to me. And it has been great knowing you, knowing about your work especially. And this interesting thing called NIPS, non-invasive prenatal screening, which yes. I never studied when I was studying genetics. I have to dig into it again.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it is so cool. And all the information that you have given is also very cool. And some are extremely new to me, which I have never known before. And thank you so much, Kira. Thank you for being
of
here.
Of course. And yeah, shout out to Adam. He is awesome in the podcast space. You can check out his podcast Business School. He's got, last time I looked, I feel like he has close to 300 episodes, something like that. So also we were talking about, if people are looking to start podcasting, go check out Podcast Business School. And if you're interested by all of this genetics, and I've, you know, struck a chord with the nerd in you and the geek in you, go check out DNA Today. It's on all major podcast players. And you can also go to dnatoday.com and, you know, contact forums on there, all over 185 episodes on there. So thank you so much for just having me on the show. I think this was just a great way to start my day and hopefully end your day.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That's a very interesting and informative episode about genetic counseling. The fact that Ms. Kira Dineen took initiative to spread the knowledge about genetics and health impacts to general public since student stage is very inspiring. I hope this episode is helpful to you all. Please share this episode with your friends who are interested to know about a career in genetic counseling. Do check out the DNA Today podcast for more content on genetics and health. Thank you all for listening. Let's meet again soon with another interesting episode. Until then, stay safe, stay happy.